This is Woodburn Radio. Now showing on aerocinema.com.
If anyone has said you're going to get involved in auto charros, I'd have said that straight windmill thing. No. As soon as I got the eyesight test, the doctor said, what if you never be able to land an aeroplane? I made suicidal pass after pass trying to get the thing down. And after several times doing this thing, with no fuel showing on the gauges, I called up and said, couldn't the crew bail out? There's no sense in them staying with me while I was trying to do it. And all the time we were flying, we had an atom bomb on board. And when we were in a certain area of the North Pole from Canada, if we got the message, we had a target to attack in Russia. People say, why do you have so many? My answer is, it's like having a harem of girls or women. They're all the same basic design, but they kind of differ in nature. I remember when I landed, a cubby of broccoli was looking at me from a distance. He said, yeah, same build, he'll do. Meaning I was the same build as Sean Connery.
The Logbook Series, featuring Ken Wallace, now showing on aerocinema.com.
St. Adams here from the Wednesday Night Wick Show, here to tell you about the new aviation t-shirts available now at warbirdradio.com/deals. Click on the Wright Brothers catalog link. There are lots of great t-shirts to choose from, like the classic World War II Flying Tigers, Tuskegee Airmen, and the ever-popular P-51 Mustang, as well as many other fun aviation designs. Talk to you next Wednesday evening on the Wick's Warbird Weekly Live Show, and hopefully you'll be listening wearing your new Aero-style t-shirt. Visit warbirdradio.com/deals now and check out the all-new Wright Brothers catalog.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the brave, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and today is Tuesday, July 17th, 2012. Man, this year is flying by. Glad you could join us tonight. If you're listening live, thanks for listening in and hope you can participate with us. If you are joining us via podcast, try and catch us one Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for the live show so you can call in and participate and have fun with us. First of all, let me just say that I am ready for fall. Okay, it is really hot here in the South, and everyone is pretty much going indoors into the air conditioning till fall as far as flying. So we kind of have our little mini building season here down here this time of year. Want to talk about tonight's show. This is kind of a continuation of last week's show about workshops. I wanted to talk about tools. And, we could have like a five-hour show about this, but we're going to try and keep it to an hour, hopefully. Maybe if you guys would like to, start talking about them here in just a minute. If you would, give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio, all one word. Let us know what your favorite tool is. We'd like to get you on the air and get you to tell us about it. It's kind of hard to tell us about it in an email or chat, so just give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio. It's all right there on the listen on the player that you're listening to right now. So just give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. the thing I want to talk about before we get started in this is I want to get back to this and start this show off with the same way I started last week's show, and that's talking about the evolution of the hobby for you as you start off building kits, then you move to plan building, and then you move to scratch building. The reason I want to talk about that is because your workshop and your tools and all that will grow through each of those stages. And the great part about it is if you take that route and you start off building a kit and then you move to plan building and then you get into scratch building, as you go up each level in difficulty, you'll find that you will acquire new tools and you'll be able to have the appropriate tools for each level. So it's kind of a continuation and a progression of building up your tools and all the items in your workshop. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff tonight. Man, we could talk for weeks about this. But what I want to really cover basically is I want to talk tonight about hand tools, power tools, and specialty things in your workshop that a lot of people, especially guys who are setting up a new workshop, may not think about. So if you have any tips about things that items that you should include in your workshop that most people may not know about and that you find helpful, we want to hear from you. So be sure and give us a call again at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio. And yes, I will continue to say that number and say the Skype address until one of you calls in. So you're in for a lot of bugging tonight. Now, we're going to have a good time. The first thing I thought we could talk about is hand tools, and we kind of touched on this last week. There's kind of a philosophy that you have to kind of develop, in my opinion, about hobby tools. Tools are definitely something that you get what you pay for, and it's very difficult to find a high-quality tool at, some of the discount tool places, but there are items that you can use from there and will use from there. So my general rule about that is, hold on a second. We got a caller. Let's talk to the caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Who is this?
This is Big G.
Oh my goodness, man! You stayed up late for us tonight.
Well, I'm a teacher, so I don't have to wake up in the morning.
Oh, you're on summer break, is that right?
I am.
Oh, wow. So you get to do lots of building right now, don't you?
Well, lots of building, lots of garden work. Everything that you really don't want to do in the winter.
Right. You have to do in the summer. Yeah. Well, what would you like to talk about tonight? We're talking about hand tools and specialty tools and power tools for the workshop. We're going to kind of touch on all the basic tools. But do you have some special tool or several special tools that you would like to share with folks?
Well, I've got a lot of them, but clamps.
Right.
You never ever have enough clamps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And all sizes, all kinds, everything. Every time you get to one of these discount places you were talking about, buy a couple of clamps. You're going to use them.
Right. Right. And that's right.
And yeah, and then there's my balsa plane.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to live without it.
Me either. I love mine. Which one do you have?
I have no idea. It's an old one.
Okay.
Doesn't have a maker's name on it.
I found one of the David planes. Are you familiar with that one? It's a blue one with an orange knob on
the
top.
I've seen them. Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
This
you
one
can't
comes
do
from Germany, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you get a chance, do they still make that plane?
I don't know. You might try. I think it's Robbie. R-O-B-B-E.
Okay.
In Germany.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll look that up and see if we can find it, maybe. It's just a small hand plane, is that right?
Yeah, very small.
Okay.
It takes one of these double-edged razor blades.
Oh, neat. Well, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's a tool I think a lot of people overlook. And boy, can that save you some time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're doing wingtips.
sorry. You were talking about complexity.
Yes.
Over the couple of last couple of weeks, I've been using the hot wire cutter. You might have seen on my thread for the Hankel. That's something that you really have to use sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, you're doing a wonderful job on that airplane.
Yeah, thank you. It's really complicated.
Yes, I feel your pain. they're great kits, but they are very complex, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you have to do a lot of studying before you do each section, as I'm sure you figured out, so.
Oh, yeah. It's an hour of studying for 5 minutes of work.
That's right, that's right. But it's well worth it, because that's going to be a beautiful model when you're finished.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. Well, cool. So what else is going up your way? You're in Iceland, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that correct? Yeah. What do you guys, I guess it's flying season for you guys right now, isn't it?
It is, yes. The weather is strange. It hasn't rained for 2 months.
Huh.
Oh.
Well, that's not good.
No, all the rain goes to England.
Yeah, you know, someone had commented about that not too long ago, that they were just getting drenched this summer. So maybe some will push up your way soon, though, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. And we're flying, and there's a huge meet on the 11th of August, if anybody is coming this way.
Yeah.
We have this fly-in, model fly-in. And we're getting a very good guest, Steve Holland. I don't know if you've heard about him from England. He's one of the big guys from the Large Model Association.
Okay.
He's coming up with a huge Bronco.
Oh, wow.
That Tony Niehaus built. I think it's a 60% size or something like that. It's absolutely enormous.
Oh, wow. Well, I sure hope you'll get a lot of pictures for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So, so what else is going on? I know you're working on the 111, the Hankel 111. Yeah. You got anything else on the board, or what's coming up next for you?
Well, the next one is a scratch built. There was an aeroplane built here in the during the war. They started it in 1935 and finished in 42.
Uh-huh.
It's a little biplane that was designed and built here in Iceland. And it was reportedly a very bad aeroplane. It only flew twice.
Okay.
And then the British authorities said, we can't guarantee your safety, so please don't fly it again. And it's never flown again.
That's not very encouraging, you know?
No.
When they say that to you, right?
Yeah. They were afraid that it would be shut down, you see.
I got you. What's the name of it?
It doesn't have a name, actually. It has. Okay. It just has a serial number, TFOGN.
Huh.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing that.
Well, that'll be interesting. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight. I'm glad you decided to stay up and join the show tonight. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. I don't see that much in the chat room anymore, but it's always great to talk to you, either texting or on the show here.
Yep.
And keep up the great work on that Hankel, okay?
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, pal. You take care. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, see, we have listeners from all over the world. That's what I love about the internet. It's just so awesome. So that was pretty cool. We got some discussion going on about different kinds of tools. I'd like you guys to call in and talk about them, you know. Because only the guys in the chat room are getting to see this. So if you call in and discuss it on the show, then the people who listen to the podcast later can hear it too. So it's important you do that. But we're talking a little bit about quality tools and where the price point is and all that. Basically, if it's something you're going to use over and over and over, I tend to spend a little bit more money. That's just kind of my rule. If it's something I'm not going to use that often or doesn't require precision, who cares, right? Like a hammer, for instance. So that's kind of a guideline that I use for deciding when to buy quality tools and when not to. Power tools, you definitely want to spend the extra money and get as much as your budget will afford and as large as your budget will afford. I run into problems with not having a large enough drill press, not having a large enough bandsaw. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens every now and then, and it'll happen to you too. So you want to make sure that when you buy tools, you get the largest and the largest that you can afford, you know, for your budget. So that's just a little guideline about that. So, but once again, folks, call in 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio. Hey, if they will call from Iceland, surely you can pick up Skype or pick up your phone and give us a call and tell us about what your favorite tool is, or if you have a special tool that, you know, they'll have to pry out of your cold, dead hands, you know, if you feel that strongly about it. Give us a call and let us know. We'd love to hear about it. I was just mentioning the David planer, which is wood planer, which in my opinion is one of the finest hobby tools out there. They're hard to find. They're a little pricey, but they do an excellent job. They don't skip. You want a good quality planer. It'll save you a lot of time when you're carving wingtips or anything that you have to carve. It will make short work of it. So I would recommend that. I also start my leading edges that way. I'll draw lines on the leading edge block, and then I'll just run the planer down it and get it close before I start sanding. So there's a lot of things it can do to speed up your building a little bit and make it you know, where it looks nicer. And that's just one of them. There's plenty of them. Another one that I think is really good is a – you want – Dave Platt and I had this conversation once, and first time I heard it, I kind of rolled my eyes about it, but I've actually started doing it, and it's amazing. Is if you go to these swap meets and people are selling used Dremel tools – buy as many of those as you can, and let me tell you why. Is what you want to do is you want to have one hanging there with your sanding wheel, one hanging there with your routing bit, one hanging there with a cutoff wheel. And what that does is that saves a huge amount of time from having to stop, change the bit out, and put the new one in, get it all tight, then go and cut it. Stop, change it out again, get the sanding wheel. You save a lot of time building, and you can find these things. I mean, I picked one up in Perry, a single-speed Dremel tool works great. I picked one up in Perry this year for $5. So if you look at these swap meets, you can find them, and then that way you have a couple of different bits on them that'll save you time, and you just reach down and grab the one you need. And it's that simple. That's a tip from the master himself, Mr. Platt, about saving time. So, need somebody to call in. I need to hear about a neat tool. I've got my own favorites, and I'm going to bore you guys with them unless you call in and tell me what your favorite tool is. And I would challenge our buddies down under. I think we've got Rob Miller is in the chat room. Rob, you can call in and tell us what your favorite tool is. We'd love to hear from you. Got a lot of folks in there, so lines are open, so feel free to call. Another neat tool that I have is, and I think I've showed this in my couple of my threads, is two pieces of 1x6. And one is narrower than the other, so it makes like a small step between the two pieces. And it's finished, and they're planed and leveled straight. And then on the edge, I glue a piece of stick-on sandpaper. And when I'm doing my sheeting, I run the sheeting back and forth across that, and it gets the edge nice and flat. So when I join my sheeting together, they're nice and flat and easy to join. That's just a simple tool you can make. So there's tons of stuff out there that we can talk about. Another thing that a lot of people talk about is let's talk about power tools a little bit. You always want to make sure that you have like a cordless drill or a hand drill. That's a minimum, but you also will eventually need a drill press, and of course a scroll saw and a band saw. Those are two musts, and of course a belt sander of some sorts. And one thing that I think a lot of people overlook is a grinder polisher, and we'll talk about it in a minute. We got a caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Mike, and everybody. Glenn McIntosh calling.
Hey, Glenn.
How you doing
tonight? I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, good. Trying to stay cool like everybody.
Yeah. It's a hot one this year, isn't it, bud?
Oh, yeah. It's 104 up here right now.
yeah.
My favorite tool. Been in the hobby since I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Been in 40-some years. And I'd say the last 10 years, the one tool that I have found indispensable that I've, well, being scratch builder, plans builder, you know, the stuff I build, is I thought I would never like to have one. Once I have it, it's indispensable, is a lathe. A lathe is everything. When you're making a lot of the small stuff, I mean, everybody just tried to drill a hole like on the end of a shaft or whatever. The lathe is just, it's foolproof. Mm. I have a decent size lathe, a 9x19. It's bigger than I need, but if you ever bought something like that, buy the best that you can afford. And bigger,
right,
the better.
Right.
Other than that, bandsaw. Best bandsaw you can buy. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you know, I've got a 14 and I've got an 18 inch, and I use the 18 inch more than everything.
Yeah.
And I set it up with a real thin blade, and really spend them to make a bandsaw great, even an inexpensive one. Even if you bought a Harbor Freight special, to make your bandsaw really perfect is buy the best blade that you can spend your money on.
Yes,
you know, like a 40, not a $19 or a $12 Kmart blade, but we're talking like a $40 to $50 blade, and you'd be surprised. It just cuts, it sings the way it cuts so clean. But other than that, everybody has their Dremels and all that kind of bit. And the last perfect tool, a must-have, is, oh, like a 6x48 pedestal belt sander with a disc on the side.
Yeah.
Most guys that build on their own off of plants or whatever, you're going to cut it as close as you can, and on your bandsaw, then you're going to sand to fit, sand
right
it to your line. And once you get really good at it, and take the time, to change your papers, you can split your pencil lines 3 or 4 times before, you know, you can fit it that perfect.
Right.
That's an absolute must-have, is a 6x48 belt sander with a disc on it.
Yeah.
But everything else is gratis. But it takes years to accumulate everything that we do need.
Yeah.
And the last final thing I've liked is I've bought them in the last 2 years at Toledo Show is all the permagrit files.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, the core set and the medium set. You know, I use both of them pretty much equally, and that they're just great. They never clog, or at least I don't have a problem with them. Yep. And it's good. Good
you
stuff.
You know, I use those permagrit quite a bit, dressing things up. Like when I cut, like if I cut a square in a piece of plywood, they're excellent for that.
Oh, you know, yes.
For dressing up those kind of cuts and so forth. And it's amazing. Those are tools that on the start seem expensive, but when you look at what it costs for sandpaper over time, it's really easy to justify the cost of this.
Oh, yes.
Really easy. So,
some of the guys have commented on a scroll saw. Careful on the scroll saws. You know, yeah. A lot of guys will buy maybe a name brand from our big box stores, an old Ryobi, DeWalt, whatever it may be. Buy better.
Yeah.
Most of those, yeah. The problem with it is the tension on the blade itself, and they really, really travel a lot.
Right.
You have to be careful with those. Yeah. And I have one, and I basically use it for cutting out the lightning holes on a big plywood rib or something like that, because you can change the blade so quick. But other than that, it really gets used. A bandsaw is everything.
Right. Yeah, I invested and got a nice Dremel scroll saw. And I've been really pleased with it. And, you know, believe it or not, you know what I use it for more than anything else? Is cutting plastic.
Oh, yes.
When you need to cut plastic, and actually G10 too. I've cut G10 with it. They're great for that. I'm like you though. I mostly use a bandsaw.
Yes.
But you know, of the two, definitely the bandsaw first, then the scroll saw. You're right. You must have a belt and disc sander, and you can pick those up fairly inexpensively. You know. As long as they're square and straight, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not something you're going to get into ultra precision with. As long as they work and they're straight.
Some guys may ask on where to buy some of the better tools at. Resources online, but one store that I like to deal with, and I have them locally here, is Woodcrafters.
Yes,
they the best of the best. That's all they sell. You know, mm-hmm. and you know. Lube your wallet up with some WD-40 because you'll need it.
Well, you know, I use them. I'll buy like file sets, and I buy all kinds of stuff from those guys. You know,
Forstner bits, that kind of bit.
Yeah. I mean, just about anything you need. And that's another thing that I would say that's worth the investment in a nice set is drill bits.
Yes.
A lot of people go cheap on that route, and you get what you pay for, you know.
Right.
I would say that's something to invest in also, is a nice large set of drill bits.
Yeah, buy them once, buy yourself a solid carbide bit set, spend the money, and you'll have them for 25 years.
That's right, you know? That's right.
Of course, we'll drop that eighth-inch one with the Dremel and break it off, you know, but...
Well, yeah, you know, I was just talking earlier about what Platt was saying about keeping multiple Dremels hanging around. I could not believe the time saving that really saves you when you're building.
Oh, definitely. I have about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them hanging.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, that seems, you think, well, I don't use that tool that much, but you would be surprised how much you really use that tool if you track it, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's
get
actually
yourself,
one of the,
get yourself you know the speed collet. I mean the you know
oh,
the,
yeah.
the hand chuck on yeah. the end of it. And if you don't have a lot of Dremels, I mean that's super.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to look for a wrench. You don't have to worry about the collets anymore. You know, it's
that's
finger
right.
tight is all you need.
And the other nice accessory for those is the 90-degree elbow.
Oh that, yes.
That screws onto the end of one of them. Yeah. That lets you get into those odd places in the fuselage that you can't get into, you know, normally.
More of a delicate tool where it's not, it doesn't like abuse.
That's right. Absolutely. But, Glenn, thanks for calling in, buddy. That's some great, great advice. I appreciate you calling in. What are you working on right now?
Actually, I'm getting the storch ready to maiden.
Really? Yeah, I saw that in your thread.
I had a little bit of burnout here on the Spartan. I had a step aside from it for a bit here, and we have our giant scale coming up here, our fundraiser in September, and the maiden's going to be here with the next 2 or 3 weeks, and it's getting ready to go up.
Well, I hope you can get somebody to take some pictures or video for us.
Oh yeah, I will. It's either going to fly or crash, one of the two.
Hey, you know what, buddy? Side. They all have expiration dates on them.
Yeah, they sure do.
You just gotta just don't know when they are. That's the problem.
Okay, Mike, let you go.
Okay, thanks for calling in, pal. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasant evening.
Okay, you too. All right, there's Glenn McIntosh calling in. Some great advice as usual. You know, that's what we want. We want guys to call in and give their own advice. I mean, I can give you my advice all day, but you know, that's just one person. You need to get advice from a lot of different people when you're setting up your shop and buying tools. And this is an opportunity for, you know, you modelers out there to help the new guys out and call in and let us know, or let these guys know what they need. So one thing I was talking about before we took Glenn's call was a grinder and polisher. And, you know, this was something I thought I would never need. Okay. But the thing that I realized once I got it is that we work with brass and aluminum tubing. We work with piano wire. We work with aluminum sheeting, all of those things. Okay. And I cannot tell you how many times I've taken that when I'm soldering brass, taken those pieces over to the polisher and cleaned them up. So, and you can get one of those from Harbor Freight, a small hobby one, for about $20 or $25. So, there you go. Looks like we got somebody, some stranger from down under on the line. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I would recognize that voice in my sleep, man.
Yeah, it's a long time no hear.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Excellent. Any better, I'd be dangerous.
That's right. What are you up to tonight?
Well, today, mate, our day's only just
well,
sort
today,
of started.
Well, today, I'm sorry. That's right. My bad.
Yep. Hey, come on, get on the same page. a bit of work to do, then going over to Giffo's. We're going to pull some canopies today.
Ah.
Yeah. But listening to your show there, and you know, like, this is going to amaze you. The two handiest pieces of equipment that I have in the workshop are, now get this, 4 6-inch ANSI flanges. Now, okay. They're about an inch thick, solid steel, and they make good weights, or they make something good that you can throw at somebody. And the other one is I got two pieces of 2x2 timber, about 14 inches long, and on one I have a 120 grit and an 80 grit, and on the other one I have a 200 and a 240 grit. These are the good solid yellow sandpaper, and they're double-sided taped on. And they're just great.
Okay, super. It
doesn't cramp your hands up, you know. Like when you get old like me, like an old fart, your hands tend to cramp on something small. Like I love the Permagrip files and everything, but handles like that they're too small for me. So I've got to have something larger.
Yeah.
And you know, like even friend in New Zealand who's building the Mosquito to fly, which is going to be flying at the end of September, its first flight.
And let's clarify that you're talking about a full scale Mosquito too.
That's a full scale Mosquito we've been doing for the last 25 years.
That's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's right. And he has the same ones, but being full size, his are about 3 foot long. And
gotcha.
They're just so handy. But they're the two I have mostly.
Well, now I know there's a third tool you have too. You hadn't told us about, and that's that special piece of aluminum that likes to remove horizontal stabs.
Oh yeah. How good was that? And that was only fairly small too. That was only 5 meters long and 20mm by 20mm that came down through that.
Okay, you got to tell everybody that story.
Well, I got a quarter scale chipmunk, and I spent a year on it building it, and it was all finished. And the workshop that I have here, I also have machines in it for my real work, so it's got to do a double thing. So anyway, being a big plane like that, it was on a stand, and I thought, I'll get it outside for the day, and I'm going to take it up on the Wednesday. This is on the Monday. I'm going to take it up to Metford on the Wednesday, and we're going to test fly it. And anyhow, so I put it outside, and standing on the ground up past the gutter, I had a few lengths of 5 meter pieces of aluminium. which I'm going to be currently working on. I engraved that aluminium.
Right.
Anyway, I'm on a drill press, and I just happened to turn around as a gust of wind came through and just saw this lump of bloody aluminium come down and straight through the stab. Yeah, like I just took it off. Yeah, like, you know, like the look on my face, I must have swallowed something real bad because, and it took me quite a while to get over it, you know, like, anyway, I ended up going up north to a friend of mine, Alf Williams, and he committed surgery on it, you know, like, and this is all half blind, it's tiny chisels and that, and we end up putting a full spar in there, repairing it, and you can't even see the repair today, and we flew it on the Saturday, and flew fantastic.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, good deal. Well, you know, I must be rubbing off on you for you to do something like that. That's all I can say. You must be taking up my habits, because that's the kind of stuff I do, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, I appreciate you calling in, and you know, it's always you're a good friend of the show, and we always enjoy hearing from you. And you know, I was just thinking while you were talking, it's kind of cool. You know, we've had somebody from Iceland call in, and now someone from Australia. The world's gotten to be a smaller place, hasn't it, my friend?
Very small, mate. Very small. And I think there's a few more retrobates from down here going to call you.
Well, I hope so. You know, because you know, I kind of gave one the challenge, but he wouldn't step up. So you know,
he's probably out in the workshop working on that. On that plane of his, you know,
he's in the chat room. He's in the chat room.
Oh, is he?
I know he's not working on the airplane. So you need to call him up and give him a hard time.
You might get a surprise shortly.
All right, pal.
Okay. Hooroo, Mike.
Great talking to you, my friend.
Okay, mate. Bye.
See you later. All right, folks, that was John Rolfe from Australia calling in and letting us that's some great ideas, you know, just make your own sanding bars from 2x2s or whatever. You know, some people use aluminum stock or aluminum T-stock, and there's all kinds of ways you can make sanding bars. And, of course, the 90-degree, I think they call them machine weights, but it's basically a 90-degree piece of angle iron that's been cleaned up and measured and sealed up. Those are excellent tools, especially when you start putting your ribs together and so forth. So that's another great tool, and you can find those all over the place. A lot of people have them. Another neat thing that we should talk about, but we're going to talk about it when we get back from the break. Matt, we're going to take a break, but hold off on calling Ron because we've got a few more things to talk about, and I think we're going to have another caller or two. And but we're going to take a break here in just a second. And when we get back, we've got a few more things to talk about, then we'll have Ron Berg on and get him to give us a video review. But stick around. We'll be right back, and we'll talk some more about the tools. We'll be right back.
This is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
If anyone has said you're going to get involved in auto charros, I just said that straight windmill thing. No. As soon as I got the eyesight test, the doctor said, what if you never be able to land an aeroplane? I made suicidal pass after pass trying to get the thing down. And after several times doing this thing, with no fuel showing on the gauges, I called up and said, couldn't the crew bail out? There's no sense in them staying with me while I was trying to do it. And all the time we were flying, we had an atom bomb on board. And when we were in a certain area of the North Pole from Canada, if we got the message, we had a target to attack in Russia. People say, why do you have so many? My answer is, it's like having a harem of girls or women. They're all the same basic design, but they kind of differ in nature. I remember when I landed, a Covey of Broccoli was looking at me from a distance. He said, yeah, same build, he'll do. meaning I was the same build as Sean Connery.
The Logbook Series, featuring Ken Wallace, now showing on AeroCinema.com.
St. Adams here from the Wednesday Night Wix Show, here to tell you about the new aviation t-shirts available now at warbirdradio.com/deals. Click on the Wright Brothers catalog link. There are lots of great t-shirts to choose from, like the classic World War II Flying Tigers, Tuskegee Airmen, and the ever-popular P-51 Mustang, as well as many other fun aviation designs. Talk to you next Wednesday evening on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show, and hopefully you'll be listening wearing your new Aero-style t-shirt. Visit warbirdradio.com/deals now and check out the all-new Wright Brothers catalog.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the brave, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and tonight we're talking tools. All kinds of tools for your workshop. So we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 478-787-4768. If you have Skype, just do a search for Warbird Radio, all one word. And, man, I hadn't even been drinking. That's kind of bad. Warbird Radio, all one word, and let us know what your favorite tool is, and we'd love to hear from you. Another power tool that we haven't talked about tonight that I think is very important is a mouse sander. And this is a small handheld electric vibrating sander that makes it really easy to smooth out fiberglass or any other type of finish. And they're relatively inexpensive, and you can pick them up for, you know, $20 to $30 for a nice one. So a mouse sander is definitely something to invest in also, power tool-wise. One other thing I wanted to talk about tonight before we move on with the show was kind of some specialty items for your shop. One thing that I've found very useful is MicroMark sells a little, basically a Lazy Susan or a carousel, tool carousel, and you can put all your tools in that, and you can just spin it around, pull screwdrivers out, tweezers, whatever you need, and they're all right there. That's a nice thing to have. Another nice thing to have are these plastic storage drawers on rollers. You can go to Walmart, Target, any large discount place like that, and it's basically a small set of drawers, like one large one and two small ones, made out of plastic on rollers. And what's great about these things is you can actually take these and put them under your bench or put them under your work table, and store things that maybe you don't use a whole lot, or if you don't have a lot of cabinet space, it's a great way to give you some additional storage, and they're very inexpensive, you know, $15 to $20 for each of these things. And they work great. So that's another thing that works well. Also, some people use wire bins under their workbench. I personally like drawers because I have little stuff, and it, you know, trying to keep it organized and keep it from falling through is tough. But there's a lot of things you can do to help organize your shop and make it more efficient. But that's really about it tonight. I appreciate you guys, you know, talking about tools with me. I appreciate the guys that called in. I see Rob just tried to call in and got the message service. I don't know why, but it's kind of odd. But anyway, we're going to move on now and wrap this segment up. And if you guys have any other ideas for great tools, there's a fantastic thread in the tools workshop and tools forum on RC Scale Builder, and it's a sticky thread at the top of the forum, and you can post your favorite cool tool in there. There's a lot of neat things that you can that are already in that thread, so be sure and check that out. That's in the workshop and tools forum, I think, and I believe it's called like your favorite tool or something like that, but it's stuck to the top of the forum, so you won't miss it. Okay, looks like we got our buddy Ron Berg in. Ron, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great, pal. How about you? So what's going on with you tonight?
Well, I listen to your show. I was really enjoying it. My favorite tool is an oscillating spindle sander. I think if you got if people have those, they'd be less worried about cutting their own kits. They are like really a joy to use.
I hear you. What else? What? You know, you've got a few other tools, surely than that.
Well,
what other
you
ones
know,
have you
been? A tip that I picked up from Dave Platt in one of his videos years ago is he take a sheet of styrofoam that's about 2 inches thick. He cut it into 1 inch or 12 inch squares. Mm-hmm. And then he'd take a spray-on adhesive and put some coarse sandpaper on one side and a lighter grade on the other side, and then cut it up into three strips, and you have three, you know, comfortably held sanding blocks that cost you almost nothing. Work yeah. really, really good.
Yeah, I actually do that. The thing you want to be careful with that is you want to make sure you're using a water-based or foam-safe contact cement. Because the standard, the Spray 77 they sell now, apparently they changed the formula, because the Spray 77 they sell now will melt foam.
Yeah, it certainly will.
Yeah, so you want to make sure you use some either a water base or just a foam-safe contact cement. But, yeah, that works absolutely great. And I save, when I buy something like a TV or whatever, I save the foam and then cut it up into squares and make sanding blocks. So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so cheap you can throw it away when you get when it runs out.
Absolutely.
I got some water-based contact cement a while back, and that's what I use. It works like a charm.
Yep. You know, another along those lines. One more thing. God, there's just not enough time to talk about all this. It's Great
or
Plains,
enough money to get things to talk about.
Or enough money. That's right. Great Plains makes a neat sanding pad. It's a thick foam, a thin, dense foam pad with a strap on it that you slide your hand in, and you can buy the Velcro base pads. But what's nice about it is it's thick and it's dense enough that it will not do, you know, weird contours and stuff. So if you're like sanding the shape of your wing, the sheeting or whatever, you can use this and it will follow the contour of the wing but keep it level.
Yeah. And well, I think people are afraid of sanding, but I find it to be very relaxing. It's almost like a zen-like thing. If you got the tools to do it, it's real easy to do, and it's really cool to see a rough piece of stock turn into something.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of sanding. I just don't like it. That's my word. Somebody said you're in the wrong
part
hobby.
Of the biz.
That's right. It's just part that part goes with the good part. So, well, let's get back on track here. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, I watched a little video. It's called Plane Talk from Design to Flight. It's hosted by Steve Holland. This is offered by Traplet. And when I first started watching it, I really I saw how basic it was going to be, and I started just to turn it off and look for something else. But then, I mean, I was already sitting down having a cold drink beside me, so I kind of watched it and started getting into it. And it kind of brought to mind, you know, we've got a lot of our members that are really accomplished builders, and they wouldn't get much out of this. But we also have a lot of people that low-time builders, and the questions that we see on the site sometimes suggest that there's a lot of people out there that really don't have the experience building at all. And that's okay, because everybody starts out in the same place. You know, Merlin and Nigel are probably the best builders I've ever seen, but they all start out the same way as those guys did, not knowing anything, and they've learned as they've gone along. These videos will flatten that learning curve a little bit, and you can pick up skills a lot faster than if you're out there doing it like Merlin did, building since 1977 and having to do it all on his own. This video starts with a hand-drawn plan, and then he shows step-by-step of building from that plan. Mm-hmm. And he gives it a good example of how to dry fit parts together when you're building, say, like your horizontal stabilizer. And he dry fits it together and makes sure that everything's fitting the way it should, and then he tacks it together. And when I was watching this, I remembered one of our members we had a few years back that got into this. He built a few trainers, and he wanted to get into big scale, and he bought a Top Flight P-47, the large-scale P-47. And he went through and started putting the tail feathers together and screwed up and got them. Things wasn't fitting because he didn't have them fit square. And so rather than try to figure out how to do it, he went on and bought another one. And then did the same exact thing, where if he'd gone in and dry-fit things, all the ribs together and put the stringers and everything down to see how it goes together, and then go through and just tack glue things together until you're through with it. And he shows that on this video. He goes in and he puts the whole plane together just tack gluing. And any one of them, if there's something that didn't fit, it'd be easy to pop it loose and go on, you know, and fix it and go back to what he's doing. And then when he had the whole fuselage together, for one example, then he went back, held it in his hand comfortably, and went and glued all the joints to where he'd have a good, strong fuselage, a good, strong structure. He demonstrates how to use C8 and wood glue and epoxy, and we routinely see pictures or questions from people asking when to use, you know, one type of glue or another, and he goes over that pretty effectively. And something else he does, I think the newer builders would find helpful, is he discusses grain orientation, you know, how you should orientate the grains in your structure so that it'll carry the flight loads.
Okay.
He shows making a drilling guide for a hinge and control surface, a little simple thing that once you learn it, it's simple. But it, you know, if you've never seen it, it can cause a lot of headaches. He goes in covering with monocoat, you know, or something like monocoat, you know, applying a heat shrink covering on it. And then he also goes through installing and setting up servos, linkages, gas tanks, etc. All basic stuff, but for some people it'd be helpful. And plus, no matter how much time you have, how many planes you've built, you watch somebody else how they do it, you can always pick up on something. Like, for one example, this guy, when he got all his control linkages adjusted, you know, he got the jam nuts tightened and everything, and they were where he wanted them to be. Then he slid some heat shrink tubing over them and shrunk it down. Everything was locked into place, and it actually even looked better. He used black heat shrink tubing, and it really looked nice. But it's about a 2-hour video, and it was kind of interesting. He was building a sport plane. It was kind of interesting to watch it come together, and I think that for some of our newer builds, I think they would benefit greatly from that.
Absolutely. And what's the title of it again?
It's called Plane Talk, From Design to Flight, hosted by Steve Holland, and it's sold on Traplet's website.
That's
now,
right.
For you folks in America, you can't watch it on I couldn't watch it on my Blu-ray or DVD player. It told me it was foreign, but I watched it on the computer. There's no problem at all with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, super. Well, that sounds like a neat video. Got anything special coming up next week?
I haven't even really looked yet, but you're talking about tools and workshops and stuff, and I'll have a look around and see what if I've got something else that'll kind of build on that.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, buddy, thanks for coming on the show and giving us a review of that video. I really do appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Ron. Thanks.
Take care. Thanks for calling.
All right. All right, folks, that was Ron Berg giving us our weekly review of a video or a book, or, you know, he just tries to find things that we might find useful, and tells us a little bit about it. So Ryan will be doing that. He had taken a break for a little while, but he's back now, so be sure and check that out on upcoming episodes. We'll have more of that coming. Mr. Jolly, are you around? Maybe? Sort of? Not really. Okay. Well, maybe not. But I wanted to. he's getting me back, I'm sure, for picking on him on the show this morning. But basically, what we covered about tools, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to hop on to RC Scale Builder and post your question. You know, there, folks, I cannot stress this enough. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Okay. All you, you know, if you're trying to buy a bandsaw, if you're trying to buy a drill, if you want recommendations, hop on and ask people what they're using and why they like it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Not a problem at all. So, so be sure and check that out. One other thing too, to think about while we're kind of wrapping up this segment a little bit is, a lot of times you can make tools yourself. Okay. Like I was talking earlier about the tool that I made to get the edges of my sheeting straight. You know, I can just slide it in there and it gets them all the same, where I can butt join them together. You know, you can do things like that. You can make your own tools, and it's not unusual for you to find yourself doing that, or make jigs. You know, that's another thing that you'll find. You know, something that, that you might want to consider too is, if you have room for it, you want to probably keep some things like some, quarter to half inch or 3/8 inch MDF board around. A lot of times you'll find that you can use that for many, many different things, from sanding bars to building jigs for models to building jigs for special bars, you know. So a good example of that is some of the parts I did on the Blanca for the wingtips, you know, made the jigs out of those. So, well, that's going to wrap it up, I guess. And hope you folks have a great week and weekend. And if you can, be sure and join us next week. We'll have another great show here on Warbird Radio. And be sure and stick around. We've got some changes coming to the station next month. Be sure and check those out. There's some great changes and some new shows and so forth. So be sure and stay tuned for more great programming here on Warbird Radio. And until next time, I hope to see you on RC Scale Builder. So don't forget, folks, to measure twice and cut once. Good night.